Brethren, the world today is constantly redefining terms and changing the definitions and long-standing meanings of words. During the past months and years, the forces of the political left have been redefining the meanings of many words, such as violence, terrorist, illegal, free speech, life, gender, marriage, man, woman, just to name a few examples. Last month, even during her Senate confirmation hearings, Supreme Court Justice nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson refused to answer the simple question, what is a woman? The world has arrived at a point to where words can be redefined and can mean whatever you want them to mean. Long-held definitions of terms no longer are applicable in today's society. The definition of the terms man and woman have been so corrupted and revised from prior definitions to where we now have politicians speaking about menstruating men. That term is absolutely absurd in the age-old and biblical definition of a man. However, in the woke speech of the today's society, which has redefined gender to be an emotional and mental state and not a biological reality, the definition of a man has been significantly altered to where a man is a person who identifies gender-wise as a man. So a woman who identifies as a man is now a man, even though that person still has a biological female body. The acceptance of redefining terms like these leads to chaos. It leads to confusion, misunderstanding, bewilderment, and finally sin. This same phenomenon can happen and has happened in religion and in ecclesiastical matters and definitions. Without specific definitions, with constant and enduring definitions, words can mean everything to everyone and anything to anyone. As in any language, words in English can slowly change meanings with the passage of time and with usages, changes in usages. For example, the English word without used to mean outside of and had the opposite meaning of within. You had within, without. So in Old English, people would say that the children are playing without the house, meaning that they are playing outside the house. So languages change with time, slowly but surely change, and different words can take on different meanings. Brethren, it seems like today that we live in a religious changing of definitions and in terms that are leaving many of the called out brethren in confusion, misunderstanding, and bewilderment. One of those religious terms is the word God. I have a good friend who once asked a minister what God was. Simple question. What? He asked, what is God? Well, the answer from the minister was, well, God is God. That was his final answer. The true answer to that question, brethren, is at the heart of my sermon today. So in my sermon this afternoon entitled, Who Was the God of the People in the Bible? I want to explore the fact that time and time and time again, the God of the men and the women of the Bible in both the Old Testament and the New Testament was God the Father. And we will explore this topic through 8 points. However, before we delve into the 8 points, we must define our terms. We must define our terms. So first of all, we must define the word God, where it came from, and what words are used in the Hebrew and in the Greek texts, and the being to whom that word refers. The modern English word God, G-O-D, comes from the Old English word God, G-O-D, which came from the Proto-Germanic word Guthan, G-U-T-H-A-N, from which the Old Saxon, the Old Frisian, and the Dutch word God, G-O-D, was derived, from which the Old High German word Gott, G-O-T, was derived, and from which the modern German word Gott, G-O-T-T, was derived, and also from which the Old Norse word Gud, G-U-D, was derived, and the Gothic word G-U-D also. Most linguists agree that the Proto-Germanic word guttan, G-U-T-H-A-N or G-U-D-A-N, depending on spelling, was the reconstructed Proto-Indo-European form of gutom, G-H-U-T-O-M, which was based on the root gau, G-H-A-U, which meant either to call or to invoke. Therefore, the derivation and the meaning of the modern English word God was not from the Hebrew scriptures and not from the Greek scriptures. The derivation of our English word God did not come from Hebrew or Greek. So what are the words in Hebrew that have been translated into English as God? Although the Hebrew words El, E-L, which is Strong's 410, Elah, E-L-A-H, which is Strong's 426, and Eloha, which is E-L-O-H-A, Strong's number 433, all appear in the Hebrew texts and are translated God into the English. The overwhelming majority of the appearances of the word God in the Old Testament in English is the Hebrew word Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. That's Strong's number 430. In fact, God is introduced in the first scripture of the Bible in Genesis 1:1, where we read, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." The Hebrew word for God in verse 1 is Elohim. Now, Elohim is a plural form of the Hebrew word Eloha. This Hebrew word means mighty ones. Mighty ones. Although Elohim is used occasionally in the Old Testament to refer to angels or to judges, human judges, the word is most often used to refer to the divine being who was being worshipped. This word appears 2,598 times in the Old Testament, almost 2,600 times. Again, Elohim is a plural noun, but its verbs are conjugated in the third person singular as if it were referring to he, and not in the third person plural, which would refer to they. Therefore, the saints of the Old Testament viewed their God as their divine mighty one. That's the definition of the term Elohim. The saints of the Old Testament knew this mighty one with different names and in different titles and in different ways. Starting with Moses and the Israelites, this mighty one was known as Yehovah. Strong's number 3068. Please turn with me to Exodus 3:15. Yehovah reveals himself to Moses as the mighty one that his forefathers had worshipped. In Exodus 3 and verse 15, we read Exodus chapter 3 and verse 15. "And God said unto Moses, You shall say unto the children of Israel, Yehovah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." So he introduces himself as Yehovah to Moses. Please turn with me to Exodus 6, where Moses was also told by Yehovah that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had not known him by that name. In Exodus 6 and verse 2, Exodus chapter 6 and verse 2, we read, "And God, Elohim, mighty ones, spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am Yehovah. And I appeared unto Isaac, unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty." The name is not there. He was known to them as God Almighty. "But by my name," it's his name, "Yehovah, was I not known to them." Now, the Hebrew words for God Almighty were El Shaddai, E-L, and the new word S-H-A-D-D-A-I, using the Hebrew word el that we discussed earlier in Strong's 410. The Hebrew language was a language that was constructed around the worship of Yehovah and has been preserved by the Jews in their worship of Him. The Greek word for God in the New Testament is hotheos, H-O, new word T-H-E-O-S, at Strong's 23:16, which means the God. Whereas the Hebrew language was constructed around the worship of Yehovah, the Greek language was a pagan language of a pagan people with a pagan culture worshiping pagan gods. Our English words like theocracy and theophany originate from this Greek word. So the concepts of the Mighty One and Yehovah in Hebrew were force-fit into a pagan language which did not convey that concept, those concepts. Elohim was translated into Theos and subsequently lost the special concept of Mighty Ones in Hebrew. Yehovah, the name of God the Father in Hebrew, was eliminated completely in Greek. Instead of transliterating his name, the title Kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S, without the definite article the, meaning Lord or Master, was substituted for his name in the Greek Septuagint translation of the Old Testament. And hence, from this substitution, we obtain the substitution, the Lord, all caps, in the King James Version in English, derived directly from that Greek substitution of his name. It's not his name. The Lord is not his name. It was a title that was given in Greek to Yehovah. The Greek word theos was used to refer to any one of the multitude of pagan gods that the Greeks had in their ancient civilization. So this word theos was also used by Greeks to refer to Zeus, Aphrodite, Poseidon, Hades, Apollo, and so many others. With the translation of the Old Testament into Greek, the Septuagint, in the 3rd century BC, the same word theos was used to translate Elohim and the other Greek words for God into Greek. Again, unfortunately, the Greek terminology does not convey the same meaning as the word Elohim or Mighty Ones does in Hebrew. And hence, our understanding of the English word God today is more in line with the Greek meaning than with the Hebrew meaning. Brethren, so much has been lost through translation. Brethren, having defined our terms now and having explored the derivations of those terms, let us now explore the 8 questions of the sermon. The first question concerning who was the God of the people in the Bible is, who was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Who was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Please turn with me again to Exodus 3, where we will read again the scripture from the initial conversation between Yehovah and Moses at the burning bush. Exodus 3 and verse 15. And Moses said unto, and God said moreover unto Moses, you shall say unto the children of Israel, Yehovah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. In this verse, the Lord, Yehovah, is the word Yehovah, the tetragrammaton, YHWH. And God of your fathers is Elohe Abotikim, ELOHE ABOTEKEM. Also note that the verse also includes the phrase, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This verse directly equates Yehovah as the God of your fathers and also as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From the Hebrew text in verse 15, Elohe Abotikim, the God of our fathers, was translated into Greek in the Septuagint as Hotheos ton pateron umon, the God of our fathers in Greek. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob was written in Greek as Theos Abraham kai Theos Isaac kai Theos Jacob. This is very important because these same phrases, the exact same words in Greek, are used to describe God the Father in the New Testament. Please turn with me to Acts 3, and we will read a very important verse from a sermon of the Apostle Peter. Acts 3 and verse 13. Acts 3 and verse 13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Brethren, the Greek words for the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, in this verse are Hotheos ton pateron amon, which is the same description in Greek as in Exodus 3, verse 15 in the Septuagint. And Exodus 3:15 shows that the God of our fathers was Yehovah. And Acts 3:13 shows that the God of our fathers, or Yehovah, glorified his son Jesus. Just by logic, God the Father is the Father of his son Jesus, so God the Father is Yehovah. Please turn with me to Acts 5 and verse 30, where we'll read a portion of Peter's rebuttal and defense to the high priest and to the council. In Acts 5 and verse 30, Acts 5 and verse 30, Peter said, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So, brethren, in verse 30, the God of our fathers in Greek, again, is Hotheos ton pateron umon, amon. This verse clearly shows that the God of our fathers has to be God the Father because he raised up Jesus. Therefore, God, the God of our fathers, cannot be Jesus. Therefore, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, was God the Father. The second question concerning who was the God of the people in the Bible is, who was the God of Moses and of the Israelites? Who was the God of Moses and of the Israelites? Please turn with me again to Exodus 3. Moses was introduced to his God at the burning bush. His God introduced himself as Yehovah. And we read this just like we did before in Exodus 3:15. Exodus 3 and verse 15. "And God said moreover unto Moses, You shall say unto the children of Israel, The Lord Yehovah, God, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Isaac, and the Elohim of Jacob, the mighty ones of them, have sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Yehovah, Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done unto you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And you shall hearken unto your, and they shall hearken unto your voice, and you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and you shall say unto him, Yehovah Elohim of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech you, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Yehovah our Elohim, our mighty one. Yehovah our mighty one." Please turn with me to Luke 20 and verse 37. Now, in answering a question concerning the resurrection, Jesus referred back to Moses' encounter with Yehovah at the burning bush and in Exodus 3:15. Read this in Luke 20 and verse 37. I'll read this out of the New Living Translation. Luke 20 and verse 37. But now as to whether the dead be raised, even Moses provided this when he wrote about the burning bush. Long after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died, he referred to the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, brethren, the Greek word for Lord in verse 37 is kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S, without the definite article the, which we have previously explored to be the Greek word Lord or Master, which was substituted for the Hebrew word Yehovah, the Hebrew name of their God, Yehovah. So Jesus was stating in Luke 20 and verse 37 that Moses referred to Yehovah as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And we have now, and as we've shown in point number one, Yehovah in the Old Testament and now Kurios with no definite article in the New Testament is God the Father. Lord God or Yehovah Elohim appears 145 times throughout the Old Testament. Please turn with me to Leviticus 18. Yehovah was giving Moses instructions to give to the Israelites. Leviticus 18, we'll start and we'll read verse 1 and 2. And Yehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am Yehovah your Elohim. Yehovah emphasized again and again and again to the Israelites that he was their God. In fact, in the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the phrase, I am the Lord your God, or I am Yehovah your Elohim, appears 80 times. Please turn with me to Exodus 20. On Mount Sinai, Yehovah gave Moses and the Israelites the Ten Commandments, or the Ten Words in Hebrew. To Jews, the first commandment or word is found in verse 2, not in verse 3, where most Christian churches begin. In Exodus 20 and verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am Yehovah your Elohim, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. So the Ten Commandments start out with the acknowledgement that Yehovah is our God and that we are to have no other gods before him, no other Elohim, no other mighty ones before him. Yehovah repeated this phrase again and again so that the Israelites would not forget. Yet they forgot. And the world has forgotten Yehovah and his name and his identity. There's a reason why Lord God of Israel or Lord your God appears 248 times in the Old Testament. Even so, that knowledge was lost. So Yehovah was the God of Moses and was the God of the Israelites. And that Yehovah was God the Father. The third question concerning who was the God of the men in the Bible is, who was the God of King David and of the prophets? Who was the God of King David and of the prophets? Please turn with me to Psalm 84. King David wrote much about his God. His God was Yehovah, the living God, the living mighty one. David's God was the same being as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the same being as the God of Moses and of the Israelites. We read this in Psalm 84 and verse 2, where David writes, my soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of Yehovah. My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God. This is a phrase that is used throughout the Bible about Yehovah, the living God. Please turn with me to Jeremiah 10. Yehovah was the God of the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah referred to Yehovah as the living God, the living Elohim, the living mighty one. Jeremiah 10 and verse 10. But Yehovah is the true God, and he is the living God, the living Elohim, and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Please turn with me to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23 and verse 36. Jeremiah 23 and verse 36. He says it again. Jeremiah writes, "And the burden of Jehovah shall you mention no more, for every man's words shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God of Jehovah of hosts, our God, our Elohim." The words of the living God. Again, Jeremiah referred to Jehovah as his living God, as his living Elohim, as his living mighty one. Please turn with me to Hosea 1. Jehovah was the God of the prophet Hosea. We read this, Hosea 1, beginning in verse 1. "The word of the of Jehovah that came unto Hosea the son of Beeri in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel." The beginning of the word of Jehovah by Hosea. Please turn with me to Joel 1. Jehovah was the God of the prophet Joel. We read this in Joel 1 and verse 1. "The word of Jehovah that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel." Please turn with me to Micah 1. Jehovah was the God of the prophet Micah. In Micah 1, verse 1, "The word of Jehovah that came to Micah the Moreshethite in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem." Please turn with me to Zephaniah 1. Jehovah was the God of the prophet Zephaniah. In Zephaniah 1, verse 1, we read, "The word of Jehovah which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, the king of Judah." So, brethren, Jehovah was the God, the Elohim, the mighty one of all of the other prophets, including Nathan, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Please turn with me now to Hebrews 11. We are told in the opening scriptures of Hebrews who the God of the prophets of the Old Testament was. And we know that their God was Jehovah. We read this in Hebrews 1, starting in verse 1. "God, Hotheos, the God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." So the God who has spoken unto the ancient Israelites and to the fathers over the centuries was God the Father, because he had spoken to us by his Son. So the God who spoke to all the prophets was not Jesus. The God who spoke to all the prophets was Jehovah, who is God the Father. So brethren, who is the God of King David and of the prophets? Their God was God the Father. The fourth question concerning who was the God of the people in the Bible is, who was the God of Nicodemus? Who was the God of Nicodemus? Please turn with me to John 3. John chapter 3. Everyone knows John 3:16. It's the most famous verse, most quoted and recognized verse in the Bible. You see it at football games. You see it on billboards. You just see it everywhere. It is synonymous with God's love for humanity, yet most people do not realize that Jesus did not say that verse preaching to the multitudes. He said that verse in a private conversation with Nicodemus, who was meeting Jesus in secret at night, probably with only just a few of his disciples. In John 3, starting in verse 1, we'll read this account. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which you do except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, You must be born again. And the wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered unto him, Are you a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? Verily I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And here is verse 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So when Jesus told Nicodemus in verse 16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whom did Nicodemus believe was his God? No one asked that question. Whom did Nicodemus believe was his God? Again, Jews in Judea believed that Yehovah was their God. So Yehovah was the God of Nicodemus. But his God could not have been Jesus, because his God was giving his only begotten Son, and that only begotten Son was Jesus. Consequently, the God of Nicodemus was God the Father, again showing that Yehovah was God the Father. The fifth question concerning who was the God of the men of the Bible was, who was the God of the Jewish leaders? Who was the God of the Jewish leaders? You know, brethren, a question that I've asked many people many times over many, many months in other churches is, who was the God that the Jews were worshiping in Judea at the time of Christ? Whom did the Jews and the Jewish leaders consider to be their God? The simple answer is that all Jews in Judea worshiped Yehovah, and only Yehovah. Please turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. All Jews lived by and held sacred the famous verse of the Shema in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. This verse tells who their God was. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. We read, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. This verse is better translated with the Hebrew words. It's, Hear, O Israel, Yehovah, our mighty one, Yehovah is one. So all Jews believed that Yehovah was their mighty one. He was their God. He was their Elohim. Please turn with me to Matthew 26. Now, when Jesus stood before the high priest during his illegally held tribunal and trial, the high priest acknowledged that Yehovah was their living God, just like King David and Jeremiah did. It's a recurring theme that Yehovah was the living God. Matthew 26 and verse 62. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answer you nothing? What is it which these witnesses against you? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you be the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. It is important to note, brethren, that Jesus never claimed to be Yehovah, the God that the Jews were worshiping. He never claimed that. Jesus claimed that he was the Son of Yehovah. He was the Son of the God that they were worshiping. And that claim was what the high priest brought up against Jesus. Please turn with me to John 8. You know, in a very heated discussion between Jesus and the Jewish leaders, both Jesus and the Jewish leaders stated that Yehovah, their God, was their Father. We'll begin this in John chapter 8, beginning in verse 39. John chapter 8, in verse 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, Well, we not be born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They were claiming that their father was God, and their God was Yehovah. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. He was coming from that same God, from Yehovah. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that you are a Samaritan and that you have a devil? And Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. And verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, you shall never see death. Then the Jews said unto him, Well, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, you shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself to be? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Jesus is saying that they are saying that his Father is their God, and their God was Yehovah. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Now in verse 54, again, Jesus even plainly states that all the Jews believed that his Father, God the Father, was their God. So even Jesus states that God the Father was Yehovah. So, brethren, the God of the Jewish leaders was indeed God the Father. The sixth question concerning who was the God of the people in the Bible is, who was the God of Jesus' disciples? Please turn with me to Matthew 16, where we will read an account of what the disciples said about their God. In Matthew chapter 16, we'll begin in verse 13. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Again, a logical question that no one asks is, who was the God of Peter and of the disciples? All Jews worshipped Yehovah, and only Yehovah. Yehovah was the God of the Jews. I do not believe that anyone in any of the churches really disputes that. Yet we have Peter here in Matthew 16 claiming that Jesus was the Son of that living God. So who was the living God in the mind of Peter and the disciples? Their living God was Yehovah. Well, who was Jesus? Peter stated that Jesus was the Son of that living God. Jesus was the Son of Yehovah, showing again, even by logic, that Yehovah was the God, was God the Father. Jesus was his Son. Please turn with me to John 6. Peter, at another time in Jesus' ministry, again states the confident claim and the assertion that Jesus was the Son of the living God. We read this in John 6, beginning in verse 60. John chapter 6 and verse 60. Many therefore of his disciples, when he had heard this, said, This is a hard thing, can you hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, and he said unto them, Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore I said unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him by my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They left. They quit following him. Many of them. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you go away also? Then Simon Peter answered him, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And then he quotes this, or says this, And we believe and are sure that you are that Christ, that Anointed One, the Son of the living God. Again, brethren, as a Jew, Peter believed that Yehovah was the living God, just like King David and Jeremiah and the prophets. And Peter claimed that Jesus was the Son of the living of that living God, thus showing that Yehovah was God the Father, and that the God of Peter and of the disciples was God the Father. The seventh question concerning who was the God of the men or the people in the Bible is, who was the God of the Apostle Paul? Who was the God of the Apostle Paul? Now, brethren, Paul was the most prolific writer of all the New Testament writers. He wrote extensively about God and about Jesus Christ. But who was the God of the Apostle Paul? Please turn with me to Acts 24, where the Apostle Paul is being examined and is making his defense before the Roman governor Felix in Caesarea. We read this in Acts 24 and verse 14. Part of his defense was, But this I confess unto you, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. So worship I the God of my fathers. In this verse, Paul states that he worships the God of his fathers. Now, we've already explored that God the Father was the God of the fathers and of the Israelites. Please turn with me to Romans 1 and verse 8, where we will determine who Paul's God was. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Undeniably here. Romans 1 and verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Brethren, in this verse, Paul clearly shows that his God was God the Father because Paul thanked him through Jesus Christ. So Paul's God was not Jesus Christ. Paul was a Jew. Paul had worshipped Yehovah as a Jew when he was Saul. His God did not change suddenly when he became converted. This is another reason and proof that God the Father is and always was Yehovah. Paul worshipped the God of his fathers, the God of Israel. Therefore, Yehovah could not have been Jesus. Again, a question that has not been answered and cannot be answered by others is the following. Since Yehovah was the God of the Jews in Judea, and since Paul was a devout Jew, and since Yehovah was Paul's God before his conversion, if Yehovah were Jesus, as many churches claim, when did Paul's God change from being Jesus to being God the Father? No one's been able to answer that question because it makes no sense. Please turn with me to Acts 28. The Apostle Paul was in solitary confinement in Rome when he was brought before the chief of the Jews. We read what he says in verse 28, in verse 17 of Acts 28. So we're here in Acts 28 and verse 17. And it came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now, brethren, if Paul at his conversion had changed the God whom he had worshipped, now from the God that he had worshipped as a Jew, if he changed gods in midstream because of his conversion, he could not have made that statement in verse 17. In fact, changing the God whom he worshipped would have been sacrilegious and blasphemous to the Jews. That simply didn't happen. He could have never said what he said in verse 17. That would definitely be against the customs of the fathers. The Apostle Paul worshipped God the Father as his God when he was a devout Jew. And he worshipped God the Father as his God when he was converted, after his conversion, as a Christian apostle. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 1. Again, Paul writes that God the Father is his God in his opening salutation to the Corinthian congregation. In 1 Corinthians 1, and verse 3, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, Paul writes, Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. There's two beings here. One is God and one is Jesus Christ. That in everything you be enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Again and again and again, the Apostle Paul differentiates between his God, God the Father, and his Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Philippians 4. Again, Paul makes this same differentiation to the Philippian brethren. Philippians 4, and we'll begin in verse 15. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but only you. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and I abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, there's a differentiation between his God and Jesus Christ. Brethren, the Bible shows again and again and again that the God of the Apostle Paul was God the Father, and that Yehovah is God the Father. Now, the eighth question concerning God the Father being the God of the people in the Bible is, who was the God of Jesus Christ? Who was the God of Jesus Christ? Brethren, as odd as it may sound, for many in other churches it may even sound sacrilegious, the biblical record shows that God the Father was the God of Jesus Christ. He was the mighty one of Jesus Christ, even though Jesus Christ is a mighty one himself. Please turn with me to Matthew 27. When Jesus was dying on the cross, Jesus cried out in Aramaic, quoting Psalm 22, verse 1, when he referred to God the Father as his God. Matthew 27, will begin in verse 45. Matthew 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Hebrew word for my God in Psalm 22, verse 1, is Eli, E-L-I. E-L-L, meaning God, the E part means my, Eli, my mighty one, my mighty one, which we discussed earlier in the sermon. Please turn with me to John 20. On the Sunday morning during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Mary was looking for the body of Jesus. When Jesus spoke to her, we read this in John 20, beginning in verse 15. John chapter 20 and verse 15. Jesus said unto her, woman, why do you weep? Who do you seek? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She recognized the voice. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So in verse 17, Jesus referred to God the Father as his God and as our God. Please turn with me to Revelation 3. You know, after Jesus' resurrection and glorification to the right hand of God the Father once again, Jesus spoke to the Apostle John and gave him messages of affirmation and warnings to the seven churches. Jesus mentioned something very important four times in four different ways. Revelation 3, starting in verse 11. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which you have, that no man take your crown. Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So, brethren, in his glorified spiritual state, Jesus acknowledged to John and to the churches that God the Father was his God. So God the Father was and is the God, the mighty one of Jesus Christ. Even though Jesus Christ himself is a glorified divine mighty one also. Therefore, brethren, from this exploration in the scriptures, we can confidently conclude the following. Number one, God the Father was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Number two, God the Father was the God of Moses and the Israelites. Number three, God the Father was the God of King David and the prophets. Number four, God was the God of Nicodemus. Number five, God was the God of the Jewish leadership. Number six, God the Father was the God of the disciples. Number seven, God the Father was the God of the Apostle Paul. And number eight, God the Father was the God of Jesus Christ. You know, brethren, as we prepare for the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which will occur next week, it's hard to believe it has come upon us. Let us deepen our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let us renew and strengthen our commitment to Him, to our Heavenly Father, to live a righteous life patterned after our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, His Son. And let us move forward with confidence in our lifelong journey toward the kingdom of our Heavenly Father. May God the Father and His Son and our Lord Jesus Christ bless us and fortify us in that journey.